Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q2 FY17 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to the conference call to discuss the results of Q2 for FY17. These are busy days for everyone, so thank you very much for making yourself available. Without losing even a minute, I would now ask Rahul Patwardhan, Pat, to take us through the results, and then we'll open it for Q&A. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Vijay, and thank all of you for taking the time to be on this call. It's been yet one more quarter where we have executed to the plan that we laid out for the company about 2 years back. We've achieved our overall goals that we had planned to achieve for the quarter, with some ups and downs on different parts of the business. Very important, we hit a milestone of having got to the Q1 after 16 quarters with a double-digit EBITDA, and it's also the Q2 after 16 quarters where we have had a double-digit growth. So the first time, 10%+ growth and EBITDA. What I want to emphasize is that this quarter we've also made a major progress on our cash and operating cycle and debt management. And as you would have seen from the numbers, our net debt has dropped by 30% from about 120 crores to a little bit less than 92 crores. So there's been very good trajectory on that aspect too. If I get into the overall numbers, our revenue of 2,984 million is up 10%. The major driver behind this was 23% growth in CLG in this quarter, and our go-forward revenue for NIIT overall, this is when we exclude the asset-based schools business and certain international geographies that we also exited last year. We've actually had a 12% YOY growth for the go-forward business of NIIT. Our EBITDA is at 10%, up 13% YOY. And the reason for this EBITDA is CLG continued to deliver the steady 12% that we have been promising and we have been delivering, but the SNC business has actually had a good profit acceleration in spite of actually doing a little less than what we wanted to do on the top line. Our operating PAT, therefore, as a result, has gone to 87 million, up 43% from the same quarter last year. However, our PAT after associate profit, because NIIT Technologies, our investment, delivered a slightly lower performance on its PAT. Therefore, our PAT increased, but only marginally, by 3.8% to 216 million. On the cash side, our DSO days has improved from 85 days to 83 days, and as I already mentioned, we had a 30% reduction in the net debt. If we go into the CLG business, we had a 23% YOY increase in revenue. Our constant currency growth increased by 28%. Our EBITDA was 12%, as I mentioned. Our MTS revenue share grew to 94%, as against 91% last year. We had one major contract expansion from an existing client. We had two new MTS clients, which we closed, but they happened to get closed and inked just after the quarter got over. But we made progress. An order book was up. Order intake was up, and our revenue visibility also was up. So overall, good, positive, strong growth, both in terms of revenue, steady EBITDA, and good traction on the acquisition of new business and the growth of the pipeline. The SNC business at 981 million was down 6% year-on-year. This was something lower than what we had expected at the beginning of the quarter. But we did see some movements, and we were hoping to make up certain shortfalls in the new DigiNext why New Diginex that we saw in other areas. While New Diginex did actually substantially better than what we had planned for the quarter, it could not make up the shortfalls in specifically three other areas. As you know, and I've been talking about this before, we are phasing out a commodity IT business, which is the old GNIT and the old IT curriculum, and bringing in entirely the new digital curriculum. But the old curriculum was sitting on a larger revenue base, and that is on the decline, while the new Diginex curriculum, actually this is the first quarter ever that we actually had revenue from new curriculum, because as you recall, we launched the Diginex curriculum towards the end of quarter one. So while we made very good progress on Diginex, the reduction in old IT could not be matched by the increase in new IT in the first quarter, understandably. That is one reason. In addition, some of our government business or skills business, we have an order book, but there's been a policy change to move many contracts, control and execution from central government to state government, which resulted in a delay in our ability to execute some of the projects. Plus, because of this policy change, collections to allow us to start the next phase were delayed, and we have no intention of starting new pieces of work without collections coming in beforehand. And the third piece, the BFSI business tends to be lumpy. So we had a little less business in this quarter because of the way the demand comes in for specific requirements, and that will probably get caught up in the next two quarters. But overall, the revenue growth was down 6%. EBITDA, however, was up to 84 million, which is 9% of revenue and 198 basis point improvement over last year. So very strong performance there. In terms of highlights, we launched the three digital transformation products out of the 16 that we have planned over a period of time. Very important, we launched our NIIT multimedia learning platform, training.com. And we also did an acquisition of Perceptron, which will strengthen our digital transformation agenda going forward, both in terms of talent as well as in terms of some platform elements. If we move on to the schools business, we had 216 million, down 7% year on year, and the 7% is understood because it was our government schools contracts that were reducing in revenue. The go-forward revenue, if you exclude the government schools contract and the asset-based ICR business in the private schools, as defined before, we've gone up 13% YOY. Last two quarters was 4% YOY, 6% YOY, and now 13% YOY. So it's a good trajectory at the moment, obviously on a small base. EBITDA, in spite of the 7% reduction in the revenue, we had a 6% EBITDA maintained vis-a-vis the last quarter. We added 103 schools in this quarter, which again is significantly higher than what we added in the same quarter last year. And what I would like to highlight that we had very strong collections, and one of the main reasons for net debt reduction, among other reasons, was that government schools, we were able to collect significant amounts of money in the quarter. And I want to add that after the quarter, unfortunately, we couldn't collect it by 30th September. We got another 14 crores of collections in hand, and more to be expected over the next month. So good progress in the government schools business. With that, I'd just like to make a general comment on what we see for the rest of the year. And I'd like to do something slightly differently from the last call. I'd like to have each of the business leaders talk through for 2-3 minutes for their business, and then we'll take Q&A after that. So overall guidance, we started off the year with a 15% and 12% EBITDA for the CLG business. And we had said a high single digit somewhere in the 7+ range for this, for the SNC business, and a mid single digit EBITDA for the SNC business. The net impact of these two guidances on NIIT, we continue to maintain, and we will deliver the overall NIIT growth and the overall NIIT EBITDA. But there will be a slight difference in the contribution of these two businesses, with CLG probably growing a few percentage points higher than 15% for the full year, while SNC will grow a few percentage points lower than what we had indicated earlier. But overall, the EBITDAs will remain at the same level for the businesses as well as overall NIIT. So most important, for NIIT overall, we will be delivering the guidance that we had indicated at the beginning of the year. So with that, I'm now going to ask Sapnesh to talk briefly through corporate business, some key highlights and qualitative statements.
Thanks, Pat, for your summary of the operations. I think from an overall perspective, we had a reasonable quarter. We showed reasonable growth both in EBITDA as well as revenue. I think to some extent, a little bit of a spike because of an order that we got from one of our customers. But I think from an overall perspective, a reasonable quarter. We continue to receive good external validation from analysts about the work that we are doing. This quarter, we won 8 Brandon Hall Awards, which are considered Oscars of our business, and we are proud of that external validation. That's the most that we have won, and we hope to continue the streak going forward. We continue to invest in improving our user experience as well as our service delivery model such that the customers that we have continue to work with us and grow and improve the business impact that they are able to bring to their business. So we continue to invest in digital technologies to improve our user experience. We continue to use or leverage digital technologies to improve service delivery. On the front office side, I think we're continuing with our momentum to improve our pipeline, as Pat suggested, and have actually closed on 2 opportunities during the first couple of weeks of October. So overall, again, a reasonable quarter, maybe exemplified by a little bit of a blip with one of our customers, but overall, a reasonable quarter. Thanks, Pat.
Well, thank you, Supnesh. And now I request Prakash Menon, who is responsible for the significant part of the SNC business, to take us through a few highlights for the quarter for the SNC business.
Thanks, Pat. Our major focus for quarter two was to implement and stabilize DigiNex products that lend itself to digital transformation. We had launched 3 products in the quarter: Enterprise Java with DevOps, MeanStack, and Big Data. And we seem to have, at the end of the quarter, we have done better than what we expected, with a whole bunch of graduate engineers taking up these courses for better employment. We also bagged a large deal under the source, train, hire model from Capgemini. So 2 of the top 5 IT majors we work with now. We also closed contracts with Bank of Baroda and UBI in the BFSI sector and an SPH from Cognizant for StackRoof. Going forward, we continue to focus on the DigiNex set of products and will launch data sciences, robotics, and IoT. And we hope to further ensure growth in this product line. China continues to grow and do well in the NIT Inside model, where we work with multiple universities, where we embed the model into the bachelor degree programs. And we signed up 3 universities in this quarter, and I think this trend will continue in China. Over to you, Pat.
Thanks, Prakash. Now I request Gavin Fabrio to take us through highlights of the school business.
Thanks, Pat. On the school business, like Pat said earlier, we have shown a growth trajectory in the go-forward business, and we've hit 13% in Q2. We've added 103 schools, like you said, and in fact, in H1, it has gone up to 242 schools totally versus 176 that we did in H1 last year. Well, what worked for us was the drive to push the non-seasonal products like MATLAB, the digital content, and the training services. We did look at improving internal efficiencies with customers, thereby trying to improve the impact of our products with them. As we speak, we are running a 90 school pilot on improving impact of our products in the schools. As we go ahead, I think we will be entering Q3, which is the lowest quarter for the education industry in the school segment. But we are primed to look at that and build a large funnel so that the big purchase season of Q4 is actually tapped into. So clearly, as we get into Q3, the focus is on to build the funnel and to spread awareness of our new product portfolio with the school segment that we are targeting. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Gavin. And since we are working on a number of digital transformation initiatives, I'd like Uday Singh, who heads our new business initiatives, to talk us through the progress that we're making on our different digital initiatives. Uday, over to you.
Thanks, Pat. So we are committed to being a catalyst and a preferred industry partner for talent development to support digital transformation initiatives for our customers. And to this effect, we've charted a two-pronged strategy. First, an internal initiative addressing the digital transformation of NIIT's entire business model. We've seen some of those initiatives resulting in positive direction and movement this year, and we expect to accelerate that as we get into our next planning cycle. Second, an external initiative focusing on training and consulting with corporate customers to enable them to succeed and to help them chart out their digital transformation strategy. And to help us with this, we have appointed Barry Liebert, CEO of Open Matters, who have developed very unique expertise in business model science. And Barry is a senior fellow at the SEI Center in Wharton School, as the digital advisor to the NIIT board. And separately, we also have an agreement with him to develop unique training products which will be used to, complete our offerings for organizations. So in the past, we developed products for the digital innovators through our StackRoot offering, and then for the digital developer community through DigiNext. And now with our relationship with Barry Liebert, we'll be able to complement that with offerings for the top management and the middle management of organizations. as far as StackRoot is concerned, we continue to engage with two of the top five IT services companies. And in fact, one of them, Wipro Digital, we've just completed 1 year of our engagement with them, and we continue to receive very positive feedback. And along with them, we are co-creating some additional products, which will help us scale the StackRoot offering within Wipro itself, but more importantly for other customers too. In this quarter, we converted the experience that we'd gained through the NIIT TV engagement platform that we launched last year and which completed 1 year on the 6th of October. But more importantly, we've now launched our multimodal learning platform, training.com. And we've also worked with some of our existing alliance partners, as well as forged a new alliance with edX, so we can start populating courses on training.com. We already have 10 of them. And what is unique is that we'll also be able to offer management programs from IIM Calcutta, delivered live but direct to home. So these are some of the initiatives overall from a digital transformation point of view, and we hope to accelerate the pace going forward.
Okay, thanks, Uday. And Rohit is very keen to talk about the cash management and operating cycle management, debt management, debt improvement that we have done, but I think we'll pick it up during the Q&A. So I just want to emphasize that this has been another quarter where, most important, we had a plan, we executed that plan, and it has delivered overall results. There has been a little bit of up and down in the different businesses, but that is not a long-term phenomenon. What's also important is that the team is completely aligned. At this point of time, we are in the process of our annual interaction with our employee base. And we've just gone through most of our staff in most of our locations, left next week. the excitement and energy in the organization is extremely high at this point of time. So with that, I'll hand you back to the operator for picking up the question and answer.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. This question was with regards to the skills and careers group. While you did allude to the fact that there is some pressure on the traditional IT trading business side, and because of which you are changing your overall outlook for this particular segment, you have spoken in the past that some of these newer courses that you are launching, essentially, we should be looking at better margins over here. So if you could help us understand when should we expect some of the headwinds from this pressure in traditional business to wane away? And secondly, when should any outlook on the margins over here?
Yeah, good question. I think what you need to understand here is that when you have an old service line which is in a declining growth rate, but it is on a large base, and you have a new service line which is maybe growing very rapidly but on a very small base, and in fact the very first quarter, there is a period of time when the two lines are not yet intersecting with each other. When that intersection point gets crossed is when the acceleration starts. But before that intersection, acceleration and growth will start. But before that intersection point is hit, because the two businesses have a different margin profile, you have a different point at which the margins start going up, and that we've already seen in this quarter itself. Because we've had an improvement in margins of about almost 200 basis points vis-a-vis last year, same quarter. So we believe that for the year, the margin, in spite of a slightly lowered output on the top line, the margin will remain what we had indicated for our guidance for the full year. But as we go into next year, the margins will go up as the revenue also keeps going. The revenue growth rate will also go up.
Sure. The second question was on the corporate learning side. You've done very well in terms of growth in first half of this year. If you could help us understand what are you hearing from your clients, some initial indications as to the next year, as well as any of the larger deals that you might be pursuing over there.
Yeah, I'll ask Sapnesh to come from this interaction with all the clients.
Sure. So as you're probably aware, we have a small set of customers, 31 as of end of last quarter. I meet with all of them almost each quarter, and I've just completed meeting with all of them. Notwithstanding the market scenario in their respective businesses, their expectation from us and our ability to help them continue to grow. I think all our relationships are strong and improving on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So from an overall perspective, the current customer base, I would say, is happy. They are seeking more value. They are seeking more services. And I think we will step up to ensure that we are able to deliver those. In terms of new customers and prospects, we continue to engage with a fairly robust set of prospects. And we are expecting our conversion rates to improve such that we are able to deliver straight line growth in the coming years.
Sure. Thank you. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congratulations on a good quarter. First question is on SCG.
Mr. Kumar, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your voice is not audible. If you could just speak a bit louder.
Is this better now?
Yes, sir. Over to you now.
Yeah. So, Pat, in SCG, you mentioned three different reasons why this quarter there was a slight deceleration in this business. Now, I just wanted to understand first, which of these three or how many of these reasons you think are just transitory and will go away in next few quarters, and specifically on the phasing out of GNIIT curriculum, how long do you think it could take before, you know, that inflection point that you talked about happens?
Yeah, good question. I think an overall statement would be that all these three are transitory, because the old IT versus new IT, I've already explained that it's a transitory phenomenon, and I think the slope of the two curves is what determines where the inflection point hits. We believe that given the size of the old IT, it's obviously not going to come down to zero in one or two quarters, but there will be a continuous decline. And the base of the new IT is only the first quarter. So we should see some impact over the next two or three quarters, but it will start improving. But remember also that Q2 is the largest quarter for IT overall and also for old IT. So we will see improvements anyway in Q3, Q4 for the overall SNC. On the other two, these are actually order books that we had in hand. These are order books that we had with corporate banking customers and order books that we had from government customers. And it is a timing issue. Most of that revenue should come through, but it's a phase lag pushed forward by one quarter, which means that we may not be able to catch up that revenue in this year. It'll get one quarter gets pushed into next year. If you look at our SNC numbers, roughly about 100 crores for the quarter. If we had another 70 or 7 crores more, we would have had the same 7% increase that we had last quarter, which is actually what we were hoping to achieve. And it's a combination of about 2-3 crores from each of these that have actually contributed to that. So it's not that there's one big factor which has made all the results happen.
Okay, and one more question on this segment. You said you launched training.com, and if my understanding is right, this is the platform where you monetize NIIT.tv, which you had launched earlier. So any initial sense that you're getting in terms of people's proclivity at least to pay for online training?
Yes, I think, and I'll ask Uday to add a few words to this. Our focus is a little bit different from some of the other online learning platforms. Number one, our platform is intended to be multimodal. It is not yet multimodal because right now we've launched only online programs. But these are all online synchronous programs, where there's a live instructor faculty, number one. So that itself makes it different from most other online platforms. Second, we are not going for a mass commodity-based online business, definitely not at this stage of the evolution of the platform. We're actually looking at a premium pricing for a premium product. For example, the diploma from IIM Calcutta is a very expensive product, but it also gets an alumni status at IIM Calcutta, which is the first time ever an extension program that's not delivered at the institute gets an alumni status. And we are already seeing traction. Of course, this program will actually start in December because there's an application process and a selection process. It's not automatic entry. But we're already seeing good initial interest. We just launched this program, the marketing for the program, a couple of weeks ago. We did a diploma in digital marketing, soft launch before the actual training.com portal was launched in the beginning of the quarter. We did well in that first launch, and we now had a second launch, and right now registrations are going on for that. And it's all already started now. And now we have about 9 products that are available on the platform, or 10 products available on the platform, and we'll be adding many more over the next 2 quarters. So right now, very early to say, but we believe that we have an offering which is different, where the cost of acquisition for registration is roughly the same irrespective of what online course you're offering. Mm-hmm. But because our products are going to be priced higher and have deliver more value, our ability to generate revenue faster and also generate a gross margin faster, we believe will be better than many of the other players in the market. But too early to say. I think you should watch this space for the next 2 quarters.
Okay, that's very helpful. My next question is on the corporate learning group. Sapnesh, you mentioned the spike in this quarter was because of one order. So is this because the scope of one particular order increase, and therefore we should expect the higher level of revenues going forward also, or was there some one-time short-term project that led to this spike and therefore it will tail off in the next two quarters?
Think of it as Christmas came early for one of the customers. The year remains the same.
Okay. And in terms of overall demand environment, given what is happening in UK and as well as some of the concerns that other IT companies are raising in US, have you seen any sort of apprehension on client side to at least delay some of the training spend that they had?
I won't say we have seen apprehension, though we have had the impact of GBP-INR conversion over this quarter, and I think that impact will be more severe next quarter from a top-line perspective. I think from an overall expense perspective, given that our expenses are naturally hedged, we might not see as severe an impact from a bottom-line perspective, but we will see an impact from a top-line perspective.
Okay, but in constant currency, the scenario remains the same.
And depending on what you consider as constant currency, convert it into dollars, then you see the impact. If you keep it as GBP, you don't.
Okay. One last question in this. There was a spike. Despite that, the EBITDA margin actually did not increase. So just wanted to understand, how much is the variable cost in our cost structure, and how much of it is fixed? Because if it is not flowing into EBITDA margins at all, just want to understand that.
Well, I don't think the right answer is not going into EBITDA margin at all. I think the right answer is that to service a spike, you have to incur various substantial variable costs that comes at a higher average cost. And that sort of takes away from being a creative from an EBITDA perspective. So, given that it was a spike, we chose not to add substantial fixed cost to take care of the spike. And as I pointed out, it was a one-off. So, of course, if these spikes become a habit, then we might increase our fixed cost.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Bharat Bagnani from Tasha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So my first question was regard to training.com. So in the last 1 month, 1.5 months, we've seen that incrementally we've added more and more courses, and now we have a total of 10 courses as on date. What is the plan for training.com? How fast can we see the number of courses increasing? And also, since we've launched the website, how many enrollments have we seen, if you can share that number?
So, as far as the first question is concerned, the plan is to both have courses that we are curating and developing, but more importantly, to start leveraging our partnerships to add more courses. NIT already works with many of the technology companies, and increasingly that will be one of the strategies for ramping up the portfolio. But we wanted to make sure that we have a stable platform as well as the supporting processes. And therefore, really we took one of our existing courses, which earlier used to be in a brick format, the digital marketing diploma, and offered that online. And that's, just about to complete. So in the and that has given us the confidence that we can deliver live online and sustain the quality of service. Mm-hmm. Once we've sort of have that foundation in place, then we can more aggressively go after the, ramping up the course portfolio.
So when do you think we would have that kind of confidence?
My sense is that over the next 90 to 120 days, we should, have the processes working smoothly. And really, when we look at Q4 and beyond, we should be ramping up.
some of the courses are really great, like the IMC tie-up which Mr. Patwardhan was mentioning. So have we seen any big enrollments in this? Because I see that you've launched 2-3 batches. Some batches extend even up to February. So which would ideally mean that the current batches are, you know, probably filled up, or maybe you're offering options to students.
So some of those programs are going to be offered, you know, once or twice a year, but we wanted to give people early visibility so that they would have adequate time to plan their schedule, because these are very intense programs. And, you know, one of the lessons that we've learned about the online business is that people start with enthusiasm, but they don't take it all the way through to the end. And, you know, that's part of the counseling process to make sure that they factor it into their schedule. And it did take a considerable effort to convince IIM Calcutta, you know, to go beyond initially outside their campus, which is what we did with them over the last 10 years, and now take it to the logical next step, which is, you know, direct to home or direct to the desktop.
Okay. But what about the enrollments?
Yeah, we are talking about enrollments per course, but right now the revenue line that we are expecting to get per course is to our satisfaction. But keep in mind that only 2 courses have actually started. One was the Diploma in Digital Marketing, which we did and completed, and the second one is already started off. All the others are in the marketing phase. So it's a little early to talk about enrollment. The IIM program, as I mentioned earlier, people have to apply, and it has to be cleared by IIM, and there will be a rejection rate, which will be substantial, and the course actually starts towards the, in fact, February, so it is quite some time.
Hmm.
I think this quarter and next quarter, we will build up the number of courses to I think about 30 or so is our plan, but we may move faster. As we have discovered in IIT TV, we now have 5,500 courses on that platform, which is a different object to.
Right.
But most important is to perfect the learning experience. One of the things that we have seen, most of the online learning platforms, they fail on the real thing that matters, which is to keep the learner engaged and complete the program. And we are trying to focus very heavily on that before we start having too many products on the platform. Because once you've got that right, and once you've got the digital marketing of each title right, then we have a replicable, scalable model which can then be moved very fast.
Just one final thing. So the courses are great, the website is also good, but how do you actually convey it to the students without actually launching a big marketing program where people actually know that I have another option to become an IIM Calcutta student apart from physically going to IIM Calcutta? How do you raise the awareness about this website?
So given the portfolio of courses that we had just now, we've taken a much more focused and targeted approach, you know, particularly as far as the management programs are concerned. One of the eligibility criteria is a CAT score. So we're doing some very focused and targeted database marketing, and we're also, you know, using some of the IIM Calcutta connects to reach out to the alumni base and the students who've earlier done programs with Imperia. And we really didn't want to, you know, go ahead and right now do a big bang external marketing initiative.
But we can expect that sometime when the website attains a certain mass, both in terms of courses and students.
That's right. So that's when it becomes a destination, and,
right,
you know, training.com itself, then we would like to.
One important thing to realize is that unlike a pure play online site, we also have a very deep engagement with a very large number of top-end corporate customers in India, who we are training in our brick-and-mortar model or on their premises for the last many years. This is something that we can just take to every one of those companies, and therefore the cost of additional student or learner acquisition for us will always be lower than a pure startup. And that's an advantage.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dhruv Bhatia from KUM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is Saurabh Shah. question on sustainable margins, you know, especially of the skill and careers group. You know, as you have more contribution from Diginex, etc., say for FY18 in a steady state, where do you expect margins to go up to?
We aren't giving out guidance for next year, but all I can say is that they will move upwards.
Sure. No. I'm just saying that from a business standpoint, where do you see these kind of businesses eventually, you know, going in terms of profitability? I'm not saying how much you would achieve for, you know, your target for that year, but these businesses, as you are growing this part, not what you actually achieve.
Yeah, there are different components to this business. As you know, our SNC business has a retail business, which itself is broken into retail in India and retail outside India. Of course, the outside part is small, but it's not all that small. It's almost 8% of NIIT's overall revenue. And then within the retail business in India, you have a business that comes from our own centers, business that comes from our business partner or franchise centers, which have a different profile of operating leverage. And then we have some corporate business in India, which is also under SNC, and we have a little bit of skills business in India with the government, which I mentioned earlier. So it's a pretty, it's a portfolio of businesses, not one single unit.
Rationalizing a large portion from what I remember last time, right?
Yes. Our focus, therefore, is to really drive the parts of the business which have got high profit margins and potential for high profit margins, and bring down the components which have high risk as well as high fixed costs. So the government business and the own center business is where we are focusing on reducing our exposure, while on the business partner business, the NIIT Insight University business, the online business, and the corporate business in India, and now extending it outside India to China and emerging markets, those businesses will get a lot more traction. So if you look at it, a franchising business can give you 25-30% margins if you're running it really well. A corporate business, you could get 12-15% margin if you can improve it above the 12% that we're currently at. Our own center business, if you bring down the capacity that we have put in place and we have high-priced products that we're able to deliver much better capacity utilization, then the margins can be much higher. So that's the direction we're going in. But there's a process of calibrating up and down the different parts of the portfolio. So far, all the improvements that were made in the EBITDA of NIIT have come because we have been able to swing the EBITDA of the SNC business last year and again for the 6 months this year. And that will continue.
Right, right. So from a blended perspective, you know, of all the pieces that you mentioned, would something like, you know, and again, I'm not talking about your guidance, but just these businesses, potential of about 14-15% sounds unreasonable?
It is feasible. It's feasible. Whether it is going to happen next year or maybe a little bit beyond that, I'm not going to give any indication, but that number is definitely feasible for this profile of portfolio.
In this international schools business, etc., you expect to continue that because it sounds like a relatively small piece and also, I guess, requires a large amount of people to be dedicated and therefore maybe subscale.
You're talking about our international retail business?
Yes.
Our international retail business last year or the year before in quarter four, we removed all the parts of the business that were losing money and where we had bills receivable and so on. Last year, in fact, for FY16, this business was profitable, in fact, very profitable, and was also having a good growth rate. China, in particular, had a good growth rate. That is continuing this year, again, in terms of profits. But we are being very careful. The entire business is being run on a cash-and-carry model, especially the emerging market business. We're also operating predominantly on billing in the US dollars so that we are not exposed to undesirable exchange risk. So we did have a small hit last quarter because of our Nigeria exposure, which we are now corrected. We don't have any headcount out there in the market except in China. So China, we have 250 people and we have a business which is about 6-7% of NIIT's revenues. So it is not an insignificant part of NIIT's revenues. It's doing well. What we must also remember is the entire Diginex curriculum was actually piloted in China.
And the success in China is what made us so confident to roll it out into India. So there is a role, a strategic role also that China is playing because it's slightly ahead of India on this whole digital front.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of HR Gala from Pranav Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul Gala here.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, congratulations for, you know, staying on the course, although quite a number of headwinds we see playing across the IT field. Yeah. Rahul, just two, three things from my side. One, can you repeat the guidance if you don't mind?
Yeah. What we had said at the beginning of the year was that the corporate business will grow 15% and 12% on EBITDA.
Okay. 12% is the margin you are talking about.
Yeah. This is what we said at the beginning of the year. And the SNC business would grow in high single digit, around 7+, and a mid-single digit EBITDA. So if you take the composite of these two guidances and were to compute the overall NIIT growth rate and the overall NIIT EBITDA, we hold to that same number for the overall NIIT position.
Okay. And what about the school learning?
School learning, there is a degrowth because of the government schools business.
Right.
That we continue to hold to that level. And we also are holding to a 5-6% EBITDA business for the full year.
Okay.
Important point is the overall revenue number and the overall EBITDA number for the company we are holding to. But there's a slight increase in the CLG top line and a slight decrease in the SNC top line.
Okay. So for overall NIIT, we will have to take the weighted average sort of thing.
Absolutely. So if you were to use our original guidance and if you have done that, then we will be roughly on that guidance, assuming you have done your calculations based on the current guidance.
I just wanted one accounting clarification. We have this net other income expense, which was 9.93 million in first quarter and 47 million in second quarter. So, you know, it adds up to around 140 million. Can you tell us what are the major components of that?
Yeah, I'll ask Rohit, our CFO, to take you through that.
Sure.
Thank you, Pat. So there are three components in this net other income. The first one is the interest component. So this quarter, our interest component is about 62 million.
Okay.
And then the second component is the forex loss. So forex loss this quarter is about 4 million. And the third component is the provisions that some of the provisions which we had taken earlier, we have actually, you know, written them back on account of, you know, some of the monies that we have received this quarter. So about, yes. So overall, 18 million is that amount. So if you net it off, so 64 is the interest, 4 is the forex loss,
yeah,
and 18 million is the overall reversal. So it comes to what,
And can you guide me for H1, how much it was? The total comes to 140 million.
Yeah, so the interest income in last year, last quarter was about 64 million. However, we had a higher forex loss, which was roughly around 33 million.
Okay, okay.
The provision written back was a positive of 4 million.
4 million. Okay, that explains the thing. Okay, my third question is, Rahul, you spoke about one company which acquired. Are you talking about Perceptron?
Yes.
Okay. So what are we looking forward to in this acquisition? How will it help in our skill business?
Yeah. So we got in contact with this company in July, August last year, based on having a look at their platform. We were very interested in their platform, but it was in the early stage of development.
Okay.
But in the process, we got to really like the key people in this company.
Okay.
And in fact, the key person heading this company became our full-time consultant for the design of the StackRoot program.
Okay, okay.
So the entire StackRoot program has been built with full involvement of the leadership of Perceptron. So the marriage actually started a year back.
Okay.
And we have been really talking about them coming on board full-time since then.
Okay.
having said that, it is good we had this journey because we got to know each other really well. So two things that we are getting from this company, three things. Number one, some really good digital talent who are specialized in the EduTech platform development area. So that is both the domain as well as the technology.
Okay.
Second is that they have built in their ILIB platform some very unique features, which is not just general software functionality, but some very deep learning facilities like semantic analysis and learning analytics, which were things that we had identified that we needed to build in the roadmap that we had put in place for our learning platform evolution.
Okay.
What we realized was that if we bring this platform on board, not necessarily the overall platform, but those specific components into our roadmap, we could save a substantial development time on our side. And there was a value and cost attached to that in terms of the money involved to have built it ourselves. But more important, the time. Because building a platform, if we had spent another 6 to 9 months building those features, that would have taken us much slower into the market.
Okay. At what price have we acquired this company? Have we shared that?
Yes, we have. We have. It's about 2.4 crores, and of which we've paid a little bit more than a crore up and run, and the rest is linked to certain milestones. One of the things that this company also brings to us is a contract with Eggstep, which is a venture set up by Nandan Nilekani, focused on the school sector. It's a social organization, and the ILIMI platform has been deployed there. And it is actually already being used to deliver learning to hundreds of and thousands of young school children. So it's already benefiting a large number of customers. So most of the team of ILIMI actually are covered by a revenue that is already locked in for the next couple of years with this customer.
Okay.
So we're not creating an additional cost base. We are creating actually a revenue stream, new IP coming in, and some really good talent coming in. So it's a very good deal for us. And a good deal for them because the talent that they have to work on a much larger set of problems in an IIT than they could ever do in their organization.
That's right. And last question from my side. Just read a few items which came in the newspaper last few days. One is this Roni Screwala upgrades this pupil. They are, I think, trying to get into the corporate learning solution, and another is Coursera. So how do you see the competition hitting up in this particular space?
Well, the fact is that online learning, and Uday may want to comment more on it, but online learning, the main market in the past was the U.S.
Okay.
Most of the online players in the U.S. have discovered that without actually having spent much marketing effort, the second largest user base is in India.
Right.
And now they're all coming to India as the market that they'd like to capture. Because the other market that is available or it would be China, where it's very difficult to operate, especially in the online business because of various regulations in the China market. So we will see all the major players operating here. Having said that, what is also visible is that while they have a large number of registered users, the completion rates and actual learning success is extremely low.
Okay.
And I think we understand that our brand is respected. We believe that the cost of customer acquisition for us will be much lower than them.
Okay.
Our ability to deliver a model that will deliver effective learning, which at the end of the day is outcomes of what people want in India, we will do better than them. But yes, it's going to be a heated market, and we will see many players operating here.
Okay. But you don't see any margin depletion because of the competition?
We are very clear that we are trying to leverage our strength, which is we have 35 million people that we have trained over the last 35 years who know NIIT. Many of them will want to come back for additional skills, so we don't need to spend a lot of money to market to them.
Okay.
Second, we have many, many corporate customers in India who have hundreds of thousands of employees.
Right.
And we are already servicing these customers. This is now a new delivery vehicle available to service them. So we will use these kinds of methods to acquire customers rather than just blowing up a lot of money, which is what a typical pure online player would do in the first couple of years.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rahul, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, most of the things have been answered. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, on the bookkeeping side, can you give us the gross debt and the cash and cash equivalents as it's the balance sheet?
Yeah, Rohit will answer that.
Yeah. So we started the year with a gross debt of 220 crores. And through our focus on collections, working capital management, and, you know, aided by the receivables from the government collections, we have been able to bring down our gross debt to about 195 crores. Our net debt, which was at 130 crores at the beginning of the quarter, is now down to 91.7 crores.
Okay, fair enough. And just very briefly, once again on the SMC business, we had in the last four quarters growth rates which were always increasing. About so last quarter we had a growth rate of about 6.6%, and before that it was 5.2%. So is it very safe to assume that this is a one quarter blip, and from the next quarter we will once again be back on that growth path of maybe 6 to 7%?
It is a one-quarter blip from the viewpoint of the three things that I mentioned earlier on this call. Mm-hmm. Having said that, the fact that we are telling you that we will grow a little bit slower for the full year indicates that we expect a little bit of that impact to be there in quarter three and quarter four also. And that's basically the trajectory of the old IT business coming down versus the trajectory of the new IT business going up. It tends to hit you most in this quarter, because this is a big quarter for people who are addressing the old IT program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. And just once again, very briefly on the beyond IT courses, if you look at the revenues, then on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we have continued with the growth rate. We are at about 38 crores versus 35 crores in the previous quarter. On a YOY basis, there has been an 8% growth. Probably because the base in the second quarter of the last year was much higher at 43 crores. But apart from that, anything else to be read in that business beyond IT? Or should we, you know, take it as sequential growth continuing going ahead?
Yeah, so I mentioned that the banking and the government business, there was a phase delay by a quarter on a specific contract in the banking sector, and some of the government contracts, which because of the movement of control from central government to state government, there's been a delay in payment to us and a delay in the execution of the next phase of projects. So that all are non-IT. So that is one. Second is that the management curriculum that we had under Imperia, we consciously decided to go for profit rather than go for volume. Because we had a certain portfolio of courses last year which delivered a certain revenue volume. But when we looked at them very carefully, we found that certain products generated good number of registrations for a course, and therefore the profits were very good. While there were a few products in the long tail where we launched the products, but the number of registrations for products were very few. And we consciously chose to cut back those products rather than spend a lot of marketing money and execution money and not actually make any profit on those. So that did result in a small reduction in the management revenues also. So it's a combination of these three put together that has resulted in the in a slightly lower beyond IT percentage for the quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kinesh Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah. Sir, our digital forum is, I think, one of the best presently available in the market. Are you finding any new business for this digital training, like SME sector or government PSU organizations, where, you know, you can act as a consultant and advisor to take up digital business for them in future? Can you please throw some light on this?
Your voice is breaking a little bit, so I didn't get the first part of the question. But there are some opportunities that are there. For example, the GST regulation creates an opportunity for training large numbers of people in the corporate sector. And this is one of the initiatives that our India corporate business is definitely looking at. The second area is this whole digital transformation. It's not only about IT training for digital innovators and digital developers, which we're anyway doing with StackRoot and DigiNext, but it's also about all the executives, middle management, senior management, across all companies and all sectors. There's an acute need for them to understand what digital transformation will do to them and what they need to do to make sure that rather than becoming the disrupted, they can survive and grow. So that is why we've tied up with Barry Liebert to bring to the market a curriculum that will help leaders understand what digital transformation can do to build the future of their companies. And that's something we'll start doing, and there'll be a set of products servicing the senior executives and middle-level executives in this space. In addition, there are other areas we're looking at, but our focus in the retail market is really IT, and that too new IT, management, banking and financial services. And if we go into any other sectors, they will tend to be premium sectors where price points and the kind of people who do these programs are of a particular profile where they are able to afford a premium price for the product. We are not going into commodity business anymore.
Yeah, so my second question is regarding CLG business and where oil and gas sector, which was our core business for the last few quarters, and how that is doing now, and are we getting any renewal contract from those ads? Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Chetan Vadia from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Coming back to the skill and career that you were just discussing, can you give us a sense of the new courses to be rolled out under the both IT and beyond IT through FY17? And what will be the impact on the revenue line and EBITDA, say, for the next 4 to 6 quarters on account of the same? Also, are we seeing any improved traction on the enrollments in the career business, and what is the outlook for the next 4 to 6 quarters?
Yeah, I'll take the number part of the question, then ask Prakash to talk a little bit about the actual courses. Overall, we have reduced our outlook for the skills and career business for this year. That doesn't mean that we are thinking that it's going to be bad in the future. It's our ability to drive the new IT faster than, in absolute terms, to grow than the rate at which the old IT is degrowing. And that's been the challenge, and therefore we are being a little cautious in reducing our guidance for this year. That's number one. We also have only launched 3 of the products that we have in our plan, and there are many more products to come. What we also need to keep in mind is that the products that we go into the 3rd and the 5th and 6th and the 7th product will get into narrower and narrower niches, but higher and higher price points, where the salaries that the people can get will be even higher, but they are therefore going to be much more niche products, and therefore we are carefully phasing the sequence in which we are rolling out these products, and we have started first with the products where we believe the volumes will be the largest. But I'll ask Prakash to talk through some of the products that we have in mind over the next 2 quarters.
Thanks, Matt. So last quarter, as I said, we have launched out of the 16 domains that we plan over a period of time, we had launched 3. One had to do with DevOps, the other was MiniStack, and the 3rd was Big Data. Now, going forward, in quarter 3, we hope to launch 3 more, which has to do with data structures, but data science, it's going to do with robotics, and it's going to do with IoT. These are typically courses meant for the graduate engineers, and some of them for the undergraduate engineers as well. So you will find that the kind of people who will do data sciences could not just be engineers, they could be from statistics and math as well. And you'll find that when it comes to robotics, we would be more focused on mechanical engineers, oblique, electronics engineers. While there'll be other courses that are meant for all kinds of people, you can convert them to participating in the digital transformation technologies. So as far as IT is concerned, this is what is our plan for quarter 3. When we look at beyond IT, when we look at management, we hope more and more courses
in the management domain that we will bring in will move towards the multimodal platform and would be delivered direct to home. In the BFSI sector, today we are looking at a certain segment of people who join banks at a certain level. Going forward, in quarter 3 and quarter 4, we hope to be looking at segments that would require skills at the senior levels in banking. Over to you, Pat.
Yeah, I'd just like to add one comment to what Harsh said about banking. We have been playing in the space of helping banks acquire sales officers and branch officers in the private sector banks, and that has been a large part of our business, apart from some corporate training for existing employees in the banks at their junior and middle levels. There's been one large segment that we were not operational in the past, which is the supply of probationary officers in the public sector banks. In the last quarter, we had major breakthroughs in three public sector banks, UBI, Bank of Baroda, and Bank of Maharashtra, in the PO segment. And this is an important breakthrough because the price point of these courses are high. They are long-duration courses, so they give you a short a year at a time. And they just started now, and there are many more banks to service. So this is an important growth driver in the BFSI sector.
So just to follow up on that, after all these courses that have been launched, will the revenue stream be more even throughout the year or not focused just on Q2?
Yes, as we said, since we had a 7% growth in Q1 and we had a minus 6% growth in Q2, and we are saying that we are still going to have a positive growth but slightly less than what we had said earlier of 7% plus. So obviously they're going to do better in Q3 and Q4.
Okay, I take that, sir. So just one more question from my friend. Have you made any headway in setting up the domestic operations for the corporate learning group?
For the corporate learning group, domestic operations, yes, we have made good progress. This business actually has grown faster than many other parts of the company. The three segments that we work on, four segments that we work on are the IT sector. So we work with almost all the major IT companies and multinationals as well as Indians. We work with many of the ITS firms, which is the people in the BPO sector, both Indian as well as shared services centers of many multinational companies. We then work with telecom companies. We work with channel companies, which is basically companies which have a large retail channel in India to help them train their sales force across the country. We work with the BFSI sector. So these are sectors where we do most of our business. All of them are sectors where they are adding huge numbers of people, and therefore the training requirements are large. Attrition is also high, therefore the training requirements are even larger. So we're making very good progress in this sector.
And so finally, for the school business, I think that is still in the restructuring stage. So going ahead, when do you think that the school business will be as growing as much as the other two divisions of the company?
Well, the school business right now is around 8% or so of the revenue of NIIT. So it is can't really be compared in terms of size with the other two businesses. What's very important to identify is that the business that we are today selling for the last 12 months or more is pure IT and people-based services business, which is what we're calling the go-forward business. It grew 4% in Q4. It grew 6% in Q1. It's now grown 13% in Q2. And therefore, the trajectory is right. In parallel, we are now building a plan for the future for this business, both the B2B as well as the B2C business. And as we had mentioned in earlier calls, we are looking for strategic investment to take this business forward much faster. So the dialogue and the process for doing so has started. As over the next few quarters, we should see some progress on that.
Yeah, sir. That's it on my side and all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sachdev from PNY. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. How the SNC business grows 2-3 years down the line, assuming all the initiatives bear fruit in terms of turnover scale?
Yeah, good question. If you want an honest answer, I can't give you the exact answer because it really depends on the rate at which the online business can scale. And it's too early really to say how fast that will scale. The potential to scale is obviously very high, but the speed at which the pickup will happen and at what point the real acceleration will happen at this point of time is really too early to say. The rest of the business, there will be a certain trajectory of the brick and mortar business. And as we refresh our portfolio more and more, and we have more and more higher priced courses, which are very relevant to the market in all the three sectors of IT management and banking and BFSI, we will be able to make growth rates into double digits as we go forward. But the joker in the pack really is the online business. And at this point of time, not enough numbers to start making promises based on metrics of the past. So I think you're going to have to watch how we do in this business over the next couple of quarters. But the potential is huge, as you can imagine.
Can you assume the potential could be north of 1,000 crore or something like that?
I am not going to respond to that question because the size of the market is much bigger than that. So it really depends on how successful we are in capturing that market.
The reason I'm asking is because, see, NIT has been a market leader, right? And all the initiatives have been there for a while now. So, of course, they've got to, like, you know, come in, you know, like, start, the execution has already started.
Right.
So, in terms of numbers and all, I mean, there is something, you know, you guys must have projected internally or something like that. I mean, it's not a guidance or anything, but some projection or some, you know, number that you could throw away.
Not really at this stage. All I would say is that it is our intention to be the leader in the blended learning online market in India, and that should give you an indication of the kind of size that we're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I think we are overshot our time.
That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time, ladies and gentlemen, and your support and your questions help us look back at our operations for the quarter very carefully. It also feeds into our calibration of our defined execution plan and strategy for the future. So we will listen very carefully to all the inputs that have come and all the questions that you've had so that we can calibrate how we look forward to the second half of the year and going forward. We're just entering, in fact, we're just stepping out yesterday from the kickoff to our three-year perspective planning process with the board. Tomorrow we have a detailed workshop with the board, following which the leadership team of NIIT is sitting, about 50-60 of us are spending 2 days deliberating on where we want to go for the next 3 years, what changes we want to make to our current perspective plan. And then between 24th of October and around 18th of January is where we'll do intensive planning. We'll share with our board on around 18th of January the revised perspective plan for the next 3 years and then go into budgeting for next financial year. So that's a little bit of a insight into our workload in the next two quarters. But as I said, we are looking at getting to the same numbers that we had defined at the beginning of the year overall for NIIT with a little bit of improvement on CLG and a little bit of depression on the SNC numbers. With that, I'll hand you back to Vijay if we would like to say a few words.
Well, I think the team has tried to answer all your questions and I'm sure there will be more as you come along. We do appreciate your comments as well as feedback, as well as some of your very searching questions, which should definitely create some more work for us, as well as thinking through our strategy well. And we'll be doing so in the next few days. So, as usual, Pat, Rohit, Kapil Saurabh, and every other member of the team, they are available to you for any questions that you may want to address or any clarifications that you see. All that I remains is to thank you for being here with us and looking forward to your continued support, guidance, as well as feedback. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.